This is the beginning of a trip. I'm on a 27-day trip. So here's the first stop. It's good to be here. November the 14th, 1969. I don't know if any of you remember what you were doing that day. Probably not. Okay. But there were some astronauts, American astronauts, on their way to the moon. Second moon. Back in 1969. And I'm not a pilot, but anyway, pilots do what they call the litmus test. Maybe you may have heard of something like that. That's how they evaluate problems. And here's what they think when something goes wrong. If anybody have anything go wrong, I won't ask for a show of hands for fear you're the only one that hasn't. But anyway, they ask themselves, is this thing still flying? And that's you. What you're going through. Are you still flying? Because you know, when the enemy, when it comes in and you're thinking, how am I going to do it? You think you're going to crash in just a matter of minutes, probably. You don't even have time to get internet hooked up. But anyway. And if the answer is yes, and if there's no immediate danger, there's no need to overreact. Now, that's easier said than done because you're not on the way to the moon right now, okay? And it's not 1969. But no matter whether you were one of the disciples in the boat with Jesus, I could even go back further, Daniel being tossed in the lion's den. Am I still alive? And when the spaceship was, the rocket was taken off, what happened was it got hit by lightning. And this is back in the early days when they were, you know, who knows, they were doing things that nobody's ever done before. And they laid their lives on the line. Does it sound like us? You know, if we're moving forward in God, every time we take a new step, we're venturing out there. We're thinking, am I going to live through this? Or anytime you say yes to God, anything, you've never done it before, your life is on the line. Of course, your natural man saying that you're not thinking correctly. Somebody spiked the pudding, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're all right, okay? And what happened was, the whole panel, they were sitting there watching the panel. Suddenly it went orange. Then it went red. And they said, is this thing still flying in the right direction? Somebody said, yeah, it's heading for the moon. Still going in the right direction. And when we are moving into a new area, into a new place in the Lord, how's it feeling? At the beginning, like I said, it can get quite scary. You might feel quite alone. And some of you, you've got a few gray hairs tonight, but I will guarantee there was a time when you left Earth, when you left what you thought was the greatest bunch of people you knew, you got drunk every weekend or whatever it was you did, and you can imagine what it was like when you stepped out. And I can if you can't, don't bother asking, but I'm going to tell you. But there's always the temptation to get involved and do something. We don't know what to do because it's going wrong. So as long as we're busy doing something, we feel like it's... But if you've never done it before, and if you let the Lord take you, you've got to just let Him handle it. It's His ship. Mm-hmm. It's His plan. I often say when things get rough and I don't know what to do, I remind the Lord in case He forgets. This isn't my idea. This was something when I was 15 years of age and came into the kingdom and answered the call and looked back and I had no idea. I thought that being a preacher was, you know, eating shortbreads and having tea with the Ladies Pink Lemonade Society after church, and I had no idea that it was going to take me where I was going to go. So they was in a pressure situation. And if a thing is still flying, you know, just take your time. And if you're still moving forward in God, no matter what you're thinking, you know, you might think, well, I can't do that. I often think of the first brain surgeon that ever performed brain surgery, never done before. You know, I know you think about the patient. Well, at any rate, whenever the Lord wants to lead us into something, I think about that. And I was thinking why I'm here. Whenever I travel anywhere, why am I here? Have you got preachers? Yes. You know, I could ask all the usual questions. Do you own the Bible? Or, you know, I could ask all of that. Do you know how to pray, fill with the Holy Ghost? And the answer probably would be yes to all those questions. But here I am. And, many years ago, I've been preaching 62 years. It's a fair amount of time. And never dreamed it was going to be like this, you know. You know, the average lifespan, do you know what the average minister in North America, do you know how long he's in the ministry when he gets out of college or whatever? Anybody want to take a guess?
40 years.
Two. 2 years. Maybe three. That's all. I know, you know, American preachers have been doing it for 20. But you don't know the 3,000 that lasted only a year. And lots of things happen, but I remember, I think I'm going, what am I going to do? Just like a flash, the Lord just went, shoop, just spoke, this is how it's going to be. And once again, if you try to figure it out, and especially if it's not going like the way the Lord said it, you might try to straighten it out, right? And I remember when I was young, I was in my 20s and 30s, and the Lord told me what I'd be doing at certain stages in my life, in ministry. And one of the things that he said I'd be doing in the period that I'm in now, you know, you're going to ask me what it is. Never mind. The period that I am now, what I've been doing. And he told me what I'd be doing. And I'd be going to foreign fields, mission fields. Now remember, God is talking to somebody that can't make a down payment on a free lunch. And here it is. God said, this is what you're going to be doing. And that's the way it is in the Lord. When God says, this is what I want you to do, we'll sit there and say, well, I don't think I can do that. There's no way. And besides, if I do that, maybe they might not remain my friend anymore. But so, since I last seen you, since I was last here, I've been to a few countries. Been in the Philippines, that's a fair distance away. I flew there business class. Yeah. Some guy called me up and said, I want you to come. And he says, you're coming business class? He said, all your hotels and your meals are paid for. It's an English guy. And I said to him, I said, okay. I mean, it sounds like a good thing to do. And you know what? It happened. So you get this idea because the biggest thing that you will face in your life, I can't do it. Well, in my case is, I can't afford it. See? And I'm thinking, this is crazy. This isn't going to happen. But all you have to do is get on board the ship. Get on board what God is telling you to do. And start moving toward it. And your life is going to be so rewarding. And so fulfilling. You know. And you're going to make such a difference. You're going to impact. Whether you're praying or whatever it may be. God might tell you to call up somebody. Send an email or whatever. That's the wonderful thing in the kingdom. And don't think about, well, somebody else can do it better. Somebody else is more educated. Somebody else can do it on a grander scale. Mm. But I have found that nobody can do what Don does. My name's Don. And nobody can do it like I do it. Well, it's the same with you. Whoever However you are to move in your giftings, however you are to speak, how you are to pray, nobody can do it like you do it. And I am not to judge, because you're going to reach people that I won't reach. And, anyway, Philippines. I've been in Honduras, Central America since I've seen you, and I don't speak Spanish. I was right on the edge of the rainforest. Matter of fact, it's only, I think, there's only a couple of rainforests in the world. And one of them is in Honduras, next to the Guatemalan border. There's a rainforest in there. And it's dangerous. There's snakes and spiders in there. And God sent me to a Baptist hospital. I know you think, you're not going to say church. A Baptist hospital filled with doctors and nurses, and I'm going to preach there, and I'm going to speak there. And I'm thinking, Lord, never mind, just do it. They had the doctor play, one doctor was playing the guitar, a nurse was leading. It was quite interesting. Some of them came out of the operating room, and they were standing back there with all green clothes. And I'm looking up there, and I'm thinking, Lord, don't let me look at their faces, just minister. And you know what? I ministered the word that the Lord wanted me to minister. Praise and they heard things and saw things. I prayed for the sick and did my job. Where else have I been? Guyana, South America, Jonestown. I was there. Got COVID there. God brought the glory and I left with COVID. The list just keeps going. I was in, I'm on my way in a couple of weeks, or 10 days or so, I'm on my way to Uganda in East Africa. And I was in Uganda a year ago this time. And I'm there ministering for about 8 days, ministering there. And they sent me the itinerary, and I'm speaking. In those 8 days, I have 7 conferences and seminars with clergy and ministers. Now that's just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You know, phenomenal. And I'm thinking, I'm just a farm boy. You know, I was raised on the farm. I still live 40 miles from the nearest town. You know, I laugh at you people. You know, how far are you going? How far can you go here? You know, I guess. We probably got farms bigger than this island, but you know what I'm saying. But anyway, it's just that you humor me, so I like it. This is good. Got to go a long ways. 6 minutes. Oh, we have to. Yes! I was in a meeting. It was a Tuesday night in Kampala. I'm not going to tell you what the street is like. I'm using that term very broadly, to your wildest imagination, street. And you pretty well need a military vehicle to navigate it. That's the section of the city that I was in. There are wealthy areas, but this is where the Lord had me. And never preached there before. And I ministered, and they were late coming. I was looking at the clock getting later and later. And finally, we got started, and they said, we're done by 7:30. You know, they want to be all done in time, but they don't all come in time. But, okay, I'm going to remain calm, and I'm ministering away. And so I'm watching the clock, 7:15, 7:20, because I've been preaching now 17 minutes. And I've traveled 7,000 miles, 10,000 miles to get there. But anyway, I am there, and I'm thinking, yeah, they're just going to do what they normally do. They come to church, they happy clap, sing, go home, and leave it. So I say to them, I'm telling you this to encourage you. And I said, anybody need any prayer? Any sick amongst us tonight? Yes, there was sick amongst us. There might have been 50 people, I'm guessing. If it was 48, don't hold it against me. But at any rate, some side should stand. Most of them stood. I'm thinking, oh boy. And they're sitting. And I'm thinking, Lord, I don't have time to pray for 4 or 5 people because now I'm down to 6 minutes. And I've got to be done by 7:30. You're going to think, don't be ridiculous. If they tell me I got 8 minutes, I do my sermon in 8 minutes. And it depends how I feel. Sometimes I leave them right in the middle of a real good story. And I'm going to say, nope, that's it. And they never know the ending. But at any rate, true. And the Lord said, there's a couple I want you to pray for. There's some people I want you to pray for individually. And I did a general prayer for them all. And they're quite happy for that. There's no problem. And I looked at this kid, 18, 19, maybe. And I looked at him and I thought, I'm down now, whatever it is, 3 minutes. And I'm looking and I saw this lady over here in the green sweater, and or whatever it was, purple. And I looked back and God says, no, it's not that one, it's that one. And I said, come here, son, come here. I'm going to minister to you. Just told him to come. While he's coming, the drummer, who believes that he's God's anointed to tell you the worst possible news about everybody and everything you're going to do. And he said, oh, he said, he's never spoken a word in his life. And I'm thinking, God, a headache would have been okay. But here he comes, and he's coming. And I'm thinking, and he's telling me, he's giving me the boy's medical history. He's only the drummer. And because we have very interesting meetings. And when the boy comes, I thought, God, I'm in now. In for a penny, in for a pound. And I begin to minister to that boy. And I'm going to tell you in less than a minute, that boy was talking, and the church was going crazy, and the women, I don't know how they do, all their voices, they're dancing. And I'm thinking, this is an unusual event here. But you see, when you're an outsider, you don't know anybody's history. You know, that can raise your faith level pretty good because you're not getting bogged down with all the baggage that they have. Mm. And I'm thinking, Lord, it's okay. You're still in the miracle line of work. Because sometimes we faithfully do what God calls us to do. And we're thinking, I've had so many prophecies and so many promises. And I'm wondering, when are they ever going to come to pass? And maybe you've had words. I talk to people quite regularly who will tell me, I'll say, how you doing? What's happening? And they'll say, well, I'm doing pretty good. And I had a guy, as a matter of fact, in the last few days tell me somewhere, so it must have been Canada. He said to me, he says, I know who it was. It was a businessman I went out for lunch, And but he says, I still got some words, he says, that haven't come to pass in my life. I said, they will. You be encouraged. Just because you got that prophecy a number of years ago, did you feel it was God? Did you feel this is what God wanted you? And so I'm saying to you here tonight that the words that you have had spoken over you as a people, and I don't want you to look at it in the natural. I'm thinking, well, that would apply if somebody lived in Saskatoon or Toronto or London or Berlin. I'll do one more. Singapore. You know, it's for you. It's like, you know, all those wonderful Christians and believers that live there, they don't know what it's like to be a man or a woman that lives in Guernsey. I think I've asked you before what they call you, so I'll just leave it. Don't tell me. And but whatever it is, they don't live here. They don't get the same word that you get. They get a word that is relevant for them where they are. And one of the huge mistakes that believers can make, we compare ourselves to somebody else. And we're thinking, I can't pray like they pray, and I don't see what they see, and you know, we go down through our lists. And I'll tell you right now, knowing what I know, been at it for 60-some years, and knowing what I know now, and if God was to call me fresh tonight, a young 18-year-old, 17-year-old, and said, this is what I want you to do, and you're going to go do it, I would do it again. My wife was driving me to the airport Yes, I still have a wife. And she was driving me to the airport within the last 36 hours. What morning was? What did I get here? Thursday afternoon. She was driving me to the airport. And she says, I don't know how you do it. She said, I've made hundreds of these trips. I don't know how you do it. And it never gets any easier. And I said, oh, I'll go there. They'll think I'm just a couple of blocks away. And I've come to them. And they'll come and do their thing and go home and think no more about it. But meanwhile, God has sent them this little package called Don Carpenter. And he just comes and sits here. This is what we're going to do. And I've had you in prayer. I've had you in prayer now for several days. I've been waiting before the Lord, just seeing what I should say. Because I take my appointment with you here just as serious. You know, I'm going to be doing churches. I'm going to be doing meetings with hundreds in the next few days. Hundreds. Hundreds. And but I take this just as serious as I would a meeting like that. Mm-hmm. And in meetings this size, you see more of the spiritual manifestation than you do in meetings with hundreds. Because we're just, seems like we're all in the spotlight here. So, as I was seeking, and the Lord, because my wife said to me today, she says, what are you going to be talking about? And I said, well, I believe that this is what God wants me to talk about. So, I'm going to talk to you for such a time as this. I'm going to talk to you in this area. I'm going to read you something out of Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to be moving around a bit. I like to read the Word. I come across, every once in a while, I come across Christians who don't think we need it anymore. But I still do, so I don't know, maybe I'm... Anyway. Where did I say? Okay, Genesis... Chapter 1, that's the first book. Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to do verse 2. I'm going to use the New King James Bible version. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Oh boy, that's exciting. Mm-hmm. And without form and void. A lot of believers are like that. No form, and they're void. Void of understanding. Void of desire. No hunger. Void of hunger. Void of vision. So, what God wants to do is to give you all of that. Can you imagine living your whole life and having no form? Living your whole life without vision? Living your whole life and thinking, well, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Because a lot of people think like this. Whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen. I'm talking about Christians now. If it's meant to be, it's going to be. And they are convinced of that, and no sense of me changing their minds. There's no sense of me saying, oh, that's not right. I can't. It's a total waste of time. Because they're not ready for it. They don't want it. They don't want God to move upon them. I was born a pillow, and I'm going to die a pillow. That's it. Not going to be used for anything else. But suppose somebody came along and said, oh, I just absolutely love that pattern. That's probably the one. I've never seen anything like this. And already their minds are thinking. You're thinking, just a pillow. And they're so excited about it. They're not thinking like you're thinking. You're thinking pillow because that's the only way you've ever looked at it. That's the only way that it's ever entered your mind. And if it was born a pillow, it's going to die a pillow. But that particular person is looking at that, is planning on making a blanket for the fifth great grandbaby that's about to be born in the next couple of months. And they want that in the quilt. It's going to change totally. It's going to go from a pillow, John. Mm-hmm. It's going to go from a pillow to a family heirloom. And nobody hardly noticed at all as a pillow. And it, matter of fact, the pillow thought it was going to stay a pillow too. If any two can agree, let it be. So the pillow thought it was going to stay a pillow, and the person that owns it thinks it's going to stay a pillow, until somebody comes in that's got vision for that pillow and says, your whole destiny is about to be changed. And you're going to remember this, and it's probably the only thing you're going to remember tonight too. But anyway, I want you to think about this. God's got plans for you.
Yes.
God's got plans. Mm-hmm. And you might be thinking, well, you know, I'm going to be in the church, and this is what I'm going to do, and it's just we're just people from Guernsey. But when God, and I like this, where it says the Spirit of God was hovering, and every time we come into a meeting, the Spirit of God is hovering above us. No matter, this is, I mean, how many Saturday night meetings have I done with you? Every time I come to Guernsey in the last several years, I do a Saturday night. I love it. I have great meetings Saturday night. But, yeah. When God hovers in a meeting, that will never be repeated like that. It becomes an extremely special meeting. It becomes a wonderful encounter. And you're going to think, everything in my life, it's gone from orange to red. I can't explain it. Why, we even got hit by lightning. On the way here, we killed somebody's cat. Thank God it was dark, because now the neighbors won't know who the car was. I mean, I'm making that story up. In case some of you get too caught up in that. But, you know, you're thinking about all the things that go wrong in the run of a day. Well, forget about them. It's not unusual. Take a look. Take a look at the person sitting beside you. If you dare look at them. Just take a look at them. These people got some problems. Stop it. Anyway. When God moves upon you, hallelujah, you're going to take a brand new, you're going to take a brand new direction. I think I live in the most important time of my life that I've ever lived. I'm right here. I'm excited about it. Do you ever think about that passage of Scripture that says, from glory to glory? Mm. You probably have heard that, read that maybe. From glory to glory. If I was to talk to most Christians, I'm saying 99.9. Somebody's going to say, you know, how do you come up with that statistic? I always say, prove me wrong. But I'm going to tell you right now, how many of them have even reached glory? They're still struggling. Am I really saved? They're still struggling and thinking, when I die, you know, will God even accept me? And the biggest highlight of their spiritual life is they've been asked to read the Scripture maybe one time in Sunday school. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're forgetting about glory. All that they're thinking about is, am I really saved? And if I die, when I die, will I spend time with Jesus? Like, that's it. And they struggle with that every week. And what we have to correct, what we have to correct. And I'm not saying this is you, so, okay, don't block the door. I'm not saying that this is you. I'm just saying this is how church thinks in general. Okay, my message is, when I preach, I don't just preach to Guernsey, I'm preaching to everybody around the world tonight. I'm preaching to everybody. Because I have a worldwide ministry. God has blessed me. And I have the capacity to believe that no matter what culture I'm in, no matter what language that my message is being interpreted in, hallelujah, that I'm meant to talk to them and I've got something for them. My life matters. And you matter. See? You matter. Because the enemy wants to make you think, you know, you're nothing more than a glorified worm. But I'm going to tell you right now, you are the very container of the Holy Spirit. God Almighty dwells inside of you. And you're destiny for greatness. You are greatness. And we're thinking, he's using psychology. I can tell you right now, I never studied psychology. So don't accuse me of that one. Okay? I'm doing well to discover what the capital of Moldova is. Just forget about, you know. I don't even think that way. But I'm thinking, glory to glory. We hardly read, I must have meant to say that, we rarely ever hear a sermon on it. And matter of fact, most times, if most Christians, if you're going to say, what does it mean to be in glory? Oh, it means I'm dead and I'm with Jesus. What if it could be that you'd be in a meeting like this on a Saturday night and glory? If you have glory people in a glorious meeting, hallelujah, you understand what that's going to be like? And you're thinking, well, is it really worth it for us? What is the value in it? In the realm of the Spirit, we don't live alone on 32 Lafayette Drive. Okay? In the realm of the Spirit, we are connected with the Inuit in northern Canada, or with the Amazonian believer in somewhere in central Brazil. We are connected all the way. Whether we're doing it online or in person, in the realm of the Spirit, there's no limitations. And when the Spirit of God begins to move, God takes all of His people and He brings us and He moves us forward. And I believe that we need to have glorious meetings. I believe that we need to, since the Holy Ghost, I believe that we need to be a bunch of glory people. Amen. Now, you know, I know all about Uncle Sid, you know. I know all about him and the glory people. I'm talking something beyond, you know. I'll fly away on a 88 keyboard accordion. That was wonderful, all of that stuff that they did. But I'm going to tell you right now, when we begin to start moving in the realm of the glory, hallelujah. Why? Because God wants us to.
Yes, amen.
It's not a question of, do I want to? You know now, at this point, you know, don't you, that your life is not your own. You know surely, at this point, that you could be called upon for who knows whatever God decides at any given moment. Live in expectation. Every day you have to live in expectation. I had a university student contact me this morning from Leeds in England. And he wants to know if I'm going to be available for dinner with him this coming Saturday night in Southampton. And he's about 22 years old. I've known him probably since he was in nappies, he was in diapers. I've known the family. Dad's a chemist in Southampton and a pastor, and they, you know. And I'm thinking, yes, I'm going to have dinner with Joel. Now you're thinking, this old guy is going to have dinner with a college student, 22 years of age, on Saturday night. Like, what could you guys possibly have in common? Joel doesn't even know me. I've barely done more than, how are you doing? What's your name? You know, he's had a few online sessions with me. But I saw in Joel the call of God on his life. And he needs Don Carpenter to help shape him. Mm. Yeah. He can have other people, but he needs Don Carpenter. And so it keeps me excited. Does Don Carpenter feel qualified? Don't get me going on that. All I just know is, Father, if I'm the one to do it, let it happen. Mm. And that excites me because, you see, I've been speaking into his dad's generation for 60 years. His grandfather's generation. Mm. And to think that I'm going to have an opportunity to now speak into his generation. Tell you! I can't wait. I imagine he's paying for it. But anyway, I can't wait. For such a time as this. And would you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. I've been waiting before the Lord all day. Yesterday as well, I've been waiting before the Lord. This week, I've been reading before God for this word that I'm sharing. I'm telling you that because I want you to think that this is important. You got there, Andre, would you read it?
How many verses do you want read? The whole
verse 12?
Verse 12.
Did I not tell you the verse? Sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12.
For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth.
Amen. Present truth. When we talk about present truth, we're not talking about a drop. We're not talking about an isolated outbreak of the Spirit. Okay? We're talking about the ocean. We're not talking about the drop. We are talking about the ocean. We've had wonderful things happen with the Methodists. Wesley shook a nation, shaped a nation. John Wesley, those boys, two brothers. We've had the Jeffrey brothers impacted here. Sorry, I don't know any Gurn prophets. But at any rate, I'm not saying there aren't any. I'm just thinking of some of these things. And you think about this. What God wants to do. And in each of those flows, we had something that was called the anointing. Pentecostals. Like the anointing. Oh boy, we go to church and we got the anointing. When he was preaching, the anointing was all over him. Yes, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, I'm feeling it now. But anyway, and you know, we're happy with the anointing. Why ask anything more? We're happy with the anointing. Just like some people are happy with the fact that they know how to properly study a biblical topic. But can you imagine what it's like? Your generation, you young people, you stick out like a... Hallelujah. Anyway. Jealous. Hair and everything. But anyway. You know. Can you imagine what they're in for and what they are going to see? Beyond the anointing. See, we have to be prepared for this. It's just like when somebody prophesies over. Somebody says, yeah, I had a prophet come and laid his hands on me, and oh my, he said I was going to do this, and whatever it was. And lots of times, most people have the mistaken idea that when they get a prophet's word, they think that they're going to do it tomorrow morning. But really, the prophet is saying to you, get ready. You prepare. This is what God's going to do with you. You're going to be prepared now. And so we look at this, and what we're happening is whenever God brings a word, and I thank God, this is true, I thank God, Pastor John, I thank God that I have an opportunity, and a people like this, at least you're hearing me out, you know, I know you're polite and nice, but none of you have thrown anything at me yet, you're still here, but I thank God that I have these opportunities. Yes. And the reason I have these opportunities is because you are being and have been prepared. And you've walked in the fullness of things that you were taught early in your Christian life. You've walked there. And even now, I'm sure that Bill no doubt have talked to you about the glory many times, and maybe some of your other elders. But let me tell you something. We are closer to it now than you were 10 years ago. You are closer to it now than you were a year ago. And God is going to have what God plans on having. And He's going to have a people that's going to go from glory to glory. And I believe that you have been born for such a time as this.
Amen.
Because it takes a people to carry this. The people in the upper room wouldn't carry this. They didn't know anything about this. They'd been touched by John's ministry, and many of them had been in Jesus' meetings, and I'm not putting down Jesus, but you know what I'm saying. Like, all that they were seeing was multiplication of fish and bread, or blind eyes. I mean, there's other words, but I'm just thinking. You're thinking, if we could just have that. We've had that, and we will continue to have that. But right now, God is looking for a people who will dare consider, who will dare, no matter what the panel is showing you, no matter how dangerous you think this is, no matter how did I get myself in this kind of people, no matter what it is, just leave it alone. Are we still heading in the right direction? Yes. And wouldn't it be wonderful if I get to see and walk in the glory all the time? Now, I'm going to speak on this tomorrow, providing the pastor gives me a strict warning not to, and tomorrow morning, and I'm going to do it tomorrow night. I'm going to keep going in this. And where's it going to take us? To beyond the moon.
Changing our eyes.
Beyond. It's beyond the anointing. But we think the anointing is everything, yes? It is for where we are right now. In the glory, everything is accelerated. Everything. In God's program, you know where it talks about the reaper, the reaper is going to overtake the plowman, and even in Jesus' day already this was happening. You know, we plant and we wait 4 months, because the Bible said what, you know, in 4 months we say, and we wait for this amount of time. And for a long time now, we've been, somebody would walk through that door tonight, who's never inside of a meeting like ours before, amongst the believers. He doesn't even know the Lord. They come because he was interested in the young girl that goes there. But whatever, he's in the meeting. And the power of God hits him. And he gets everything that some dear old saint's been struggling with for years to get. He comes in and gets it all in 15 minutes. The Holy Ghost for over 50 years. And this guy, who is this guy? He hasn't even baptized in water. He should know better. And he doesn't fast. He gets it all. What's happening? The reaper is overtaking the plowman. And we've been experiencing this for some time. But in the glory realm, everything is going to be accelerated. It's just, it hasn't even, the Bible refers to it this way, it hasn't even entered our minds, the things that God has prepared for us. It hasn't even entered our minds. Now, it's a new dimension. I'm going to take you to another verse. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction. Our light affliction, hallelujah, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And when I think about this, a far more exceeding weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are seen are not seen are eternal. And we're going to be moving more in the eternal realm than we've ever dreamed that we ever would move in. Some people said, well, I can't wait to get to heaven to be with Grandpa or see Jesus. Or they get real spiritual when they talk about dying, how they're going to praise the Lord for 10,000 years. And they can't do it for 10 minutes here. But anyway, it's going to be wonderful. And they think about that. And I think that this is going to be all wonderful in glory. And how about glory right now tonight? How about moving in it right now? You and I have been in meetings, I'm sure, where you cannot move. Just it. Maybe slayed out in the spirit, or the presence of God was so strong, you're totally oblivious to everything around you. And just being like, just moving in the glory. And when you're in that realm, you're going to be able to speak creative words. You're going to see not just one boy who can't talk. You're going to see the 50 people that stood are suddenly just going to be healed before you can even get to them. Just the glory of God just begins to come in. We've had meetings like that now. We've always had the taste of the glory. We've always had it where occasionally we would get it. But I'm talking about when believers are meeting around the world. How about every meeting? We don't know whether we're in the body or out of the body. How about that kind of a meeting? And not just for the experience, but for what takes place there.
Yes, amen.
Maybe you'll get a chance to talk with Jesus before your heart starts beating. Maybe you will be, while you're standing there, Daniel might just suddenly walk up to you and say, what do you think, Louise? Do you think we can do this? See, in the glory realm, is there any death? Is there any barrier between us and heaven? I ask you, is there a barrier? When we begin to move in the realm, I know I'm way out there. I'm getting way out there, ain't I? Yeah, I'm getting way out. All right, get back down to Guernsey. All right. Amen. I have a flat tire, Brother Don. Okay, let's get that little flat tire. You can stay with the flat tire, you know, but I myself, I'm believing that God has more for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you've had, I suspect you've had people that you meet. It's a God connection, and they are so excited at what God has said to them and what's going to take place. Hallelujah! And they talk to you like, "I can't get it. You're so high and mighty and spiritual. I don't know if I'll ever get there." Or you'll get them where they'll say, "Is it possible?" Or whatever. But when you've got it so that your words are speaking to them, and every word you speak is so weighted, W-E-I-G-H-T-E-D, so weighted in the Spirit, hallelujah, that it impacts them for eternity, not for the moment, for eternity. What could we do with a person like that? Would they lay down their lives for the others? Would they be willing to do whatever God wants them to do? I've heard lots of people, probably in the hundreds, maybe the thousands. Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. And I come back a year later and they're not even serving God. You know, I remember a number of years ago, I was in, I think, Dayton, Ohio. United States. I was in a hotel and I was preaching in the area, and I was in the lobby, and one of the acts that they had, entertainers, singers, whatever they were performing there in their nightclub. And while I'm there, somehow or another, one of them came out by, and we were chatting for a moment, and she found out what I was doing. She told me what she was doing there. And she found out that I was preaching, and immediately, she probably was famous. I don't know. I mean, I've sat beside famous people. I just don't move in those circles. I don't know them. You know, I could probably have some famous singer, but it doesn't interest me. So anyway, she wanted me to talk to her. I had a chance to minister to her. I had a chance to pray for her. She was sicker than life. And I'm thinking, how about moving in such a way, hallelujah, that we just never know what God just wants to have a plan for. Just like Jesus. You can be just like Jesus. Walking down the streets in, what's the main street here? Main drag? McDonald's and KFC. What street are they on?
Well, sorry, we don't have it.
We don't have it.
You could be just walking along, and all of a sudden, God would just start speaking to you and use you and tell you what He wants you to do. Mm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Feed upon the Word. Good news.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to minister to some of you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Is that for me stopping?
No. Oh. I was thinking the Lord, what you said. Not as you stopped it.
Oh, man. Yeah,
that's
right.
I was in London a few years ago, and I had a lady. She was a pastor's wife. Matter of fact, pastor of the church where I was, his wife. And she said, we'd like to have children. And I said, okay. And I prayed for her. And I came back a year or two later, and they had a child. And this is an amazing story. She had whatever you do to not have children anymore with ladies. I'm not up on these things, but whatever it was. Impossible. But pregnant she got. Hallelujah. And a baby she got. But the doctor explained what happened. She had another tube they didn't know about. But I'm going to tell you right now, she had heart's desire was fulfilled. Every one of you have got a knee problem. Just lay your hand on that right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I minister healing. And I'm asking right now that the limping, the pain, arthritis, rheumatism, Lord, the joints that are worn, whatever's going on here, in the name of Jesus, I minister healing tonight, and I speak a creative word in Jesus' name. Be made whole tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You know, when Don was talking about that lady that was pregnant, you know, it's amazing how God, you know, sometimes in the closet, you know, we've spoken about the closet before, Lord, to go in your closet and close the door. And that's very interesting. Shut the world out, shut all your thoughts that might come around, just shut the door, and it's just you and Him. And do you know He desires, like Tom's been saying, He desires that fellowship with you. It's not just about the church you go to. It's about you and I and everybody else that is having that personal fellowship with Him. And He cares for you. He cares for you. So when you go in your closet could be in the shed, it could be in the bedroom, it could be even in the kitchen, wherever. Locked in with Him. And you can tell Him all your problems, all your faults, all your fears. But the thing is this, you can talk to Him and you can exchange your strength, which will fail us, for His. Now that's a great deal. And so Don's been ministering tonight to us, and some things we've picked up, we've all probably picked up something a little different, you know, according to the need. But stick with it, because I've noticed that in meetings like this, Don's only got 3 meetings with us, it can start here, and we want it to start here. Always, God, there's a preparation for the next one. And then for the next one. God will always prepare you. So, yeah. Okay. And finally, that pregnant thing, it was just, it came up. We didn't have children for a few years when we got married. And when we got converted, me, personally, did not want children. Oh, it's going to hold me back. I'm going on. I don't know where I'm going.
But you want
to I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going. I don't want kids hanging around. That will pull me back. And that's how we think sometimes. And Lorraine was the opposite. She cried for children. And there's me, didn't want children. Then one day, she asked Bill and Eunice, she said, could you pray about having children? Well, one came, two came, three came, and we were in the back of his little mini car, in his car. Do you remember down the beach down there, Pembroke? And we said, have we ever asked you to stop praying? Goodness me. But having children, your children will teach you. They'll teach you patience, they'll teach you this, that, the other, they'll teach you. And that's why Steph and Rob got four. They must be. But your children teach you, and you know, there's me, with my mind, didn't want them, they'll hold you back. That's quite the opposite. They take you forward. You learn, and you learn to love them no matter what. You know? Yeah, I think I can say that honestly. But we're very, very blessed. So look, we thank Don for the ministry tonight, but keep your ears open. Okay, God, like Don said, he wants to witness this to us. You know, especially when he spoke about the pillow and that. You know, I'm a this and I'll always be a this. And God said, no, you'll be what I want you to be. Oh, what about if I want you to be this? Well, I can't. And I must say, I can't. Well, we know you can't. And I love what he said. And it sprung a thought in my mind about, he said he wasn't qualified in some time in the sermon. And I read a little thing somebody said, and I thought it's ever so good. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called.
Yeah.
And that's exactly it. So don't think, oh, I've got to be qualified before you won't. Moses wasn't qualified. Gideon wasn't qualified. Peter wasn't qualified. Nobody is qualified. He qualifies the call. If he called you, you're qualified. If he asks you to do something, he'll give you the strength to do it.
Yeah.
But let's stay open. We've heard it tonight. Let's stay open and think, you know. Like Andre. Somebody said, Andre, I remember years ago, Andre said, oh, he plays the guitar Sunday mornings and all that, and blah, blah, blah. But he can get stuck behind his guitar. He may have a word of prophecy for folk. I'm just talking general now, any musician. He may, oh, well, I'm the guitarist. No, you're not. You're more than that. You may have... You know, I always think you're stuck. You may be asked to get up and go and pray for somebody, or go give a prophecy, or go and preach, whatever. You know, and we can get the wrong idea. Oh well, we always sit here, and we always do that. Let's be open. Maybe the Lord wants to do. I saw Mark and Rachel. They gave something. We had a carol service. That's carol what it was. Carol service, and. We changed it round a bit, you know, Andre did. I asked him to leave it and to do something a bit different. Anyway, and he asked Mark and Rachel. They've been hiding their light under a bushel.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. They came out with this, and then we had some kids there, you know. They came out, and I watched the kids.
Yeah.
Eyes open, mouth open, you know. Like that, they had their attention, and what they gave was really, really good. I sort of think about it. It was marvellous for anybody, young or old. And I thought, somebody asked them to do it, and they did it. But let's not wait sometimes.
God bless them.
You know, let's go for it, eh? Let's go for it. And we're moving at the minute. I'm encouraged. And remember that word that guy gave us
when I asked,
he spoke in the tent. He got up to preach, I was telling Don the other day, today. He said, I got a sermon. And the funny thing was, I was disappointed. I wanted to hear the other speaker. I wanted to hear him. And they said, oh, Chris is speaking tonight. And I'm like, oh, what a shame. You know, and he got up. And this is our thinking, see, sometimes. But God intervenes. And Chris got up. He said, I want to give a word. And he entitled his sermon, you know. He said, the value of insignificance.
Yeah, it was brilliant, huh?
It was, wasn't it, Jazz? I thought, wow, and he went on, and I thought, wow, and there you are, two little women up in the Isle of Lewis.
Yeah.
Insignificant, yeah. In a little cottage, two women, caught a Bible. Let's think a little different.
Yeah.
Okay, this weekend, we've got two more meetings we've done, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yes,
yeah. So let's
close.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah,
we're going to
close. Before you do, can I just say something? I was privileged to, for those of you who weren't here for the New Year's Eve service, I was privileged to be asked to take it and to give a word because Don was ill. And the Lord gave me a scripture from Isaiah chapter 6, and it comes up to verse 8, where it says about, who will I send? Who will go? And Isaiah's response was, I'll go. Send me. And he said, go, tell them. And that was, I believe we're hearing that again in different dimensions through Don, and that God wants us to go. He wants us to put up our hands and say, yes, Lord, I'm ready. Tell me what to do, I'll do it. Send me. And it doesn't always mean going out there to somebody. It may well do, and there are lots of times it will be. And there'll be times when people won't want to hear what you've been told to tell them. You know, you go reading the word, what some of the prophets and different things they were told to do. And that the important thing is that you're obedient. We're obedient to his voice. And that we listen for that and we move in that, you know. But it isn't just about going out. This go, it often is within. It's amongst the body. Because in you being obedient and taking that and living in what God's given you and you ministering that, the simplest thing. And like we were saying about the insignificance, and I go, well, it's only me, you know. Who am I? You know, Russ. You know, bless her. She comes on a Sunday morning. We love to see her here and that. But, you know, what else do we know about Russ, you know? And Roz doesn't have some fantastic ministry at the front where she's up there preaching and she's playing a guitar or she's doing this. But I tell you what, this time is behind the scenes. And I know when we moved house the last time, 5 years ago, who turned up on that day having baked cakes? Roz. And there she was, you know, and not wanting to embarrass her. But it was, we were touched. And it was a time of need and that, you know. And that, doing that and being obedient to the Lord is important as somebody who goes out there, you know. And it's about us getting in that place where we say, okay, Lord, I don't know what the cost will be. I'm scared that I might struggle with this, Lord. But, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. Amen. I want to have that hearing ear. And let's keep that hearing ear for what Don has got to bring us this weekend. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we've been blessed today in so many ways. Okay, thanks, Omar. Yeah, it's really, really good. So let's be prepared. God has got something in you when he said, like Mary, whatsoever he says, she did. Okay, so we're going to close in prayer.